Hi there, this is Abel James with FatBurningMan.com, and thanks so much for stopping by. So today we're going to kick off the Inspiring Stories series with a man named David Garcia, who's a fellow blogger who lost an incredible 167 pounds and has been able to keep it off with remarkable patience, grace, and perseverance. David chronicles his weight loss at KeepItUpDavid.com, and it's a blog that I visit often and thoroughly enjoy. So how about it? Let's meet David.
Hey, Abel, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You're super punctual. I love it.
Yeah, that's how I try to do it. Well, but firstly, I really want to thank you for agreeing to do this. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know folks are really going to be inspired.
I agree. Thank you so much for asking me.
I love stuff like this. You know, I've decided to kind of do this interview series with a bunch of people who haven't just lost a whole lot of weight, but who've really kept it off. Keeping a chronicle of it is a very courageous thing to do. So I think that's really a testament to what you've been able to do, and I think you're a huge inspiration. So I'm stoked.
I'm stoked as well. Thank you so much. I brought your book with me when I was traveling, and I got through most of it. And it's really great. I really love it.
That's awesome.
I'm really impressed with the way that you've enlivened what can be sort of dry material, and I think that your use of footnotes is particularly hilarious.
Thanks.
And any time when you can just sort of laugh out loud when reading material, you know, like this, I think it's really wonderful. There was one in your talking about protein, and you had a footnote that was, and you know what else is great about protein? It's in steak.
True story.
Yeah, exactly. I've enjoyed it very much. It's informative and it's fun, and finding that balance and maintaining that balance is not easy to do.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sure you've read a whole bunch of diet books and that sort of thing. I know I did, and one of the most frustrating things about it is that they're so mind-numbingly boring most of the time. And so I figured at least if someone's going to take the time and read mine, you might as well make it interesting to read and as fun as it can be, while also combining it with useful information. So I tried to do that as much as possible.
Yeah, it doesn't read as much like a textbook like so many others can see.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, cool. Do you want to get to it then?
I would love to. Sound good?
Right on. We're here with David from KeepItUpDavid.com, and he has a truly inspiring story and a great blog to boot. So, David, could you start with telling us just a bit about your weight loss journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I have been overweight or obese for my entire life, as long as I can remember. And throughout the years, I've tried a bunch of different diets and programs. I put on Weight Watchers in high school, and I was on a hospital run liquid diet in college, and I've tried my own diet, and I've tried all of these things, and a lot of times I had moderate levels of success, and the weight would come back, and it would always come back, and I could never really get a handle on it. And a couple of years ago, I had pretty much stopped trying. I was at my heaviest ever, which was just over 402 pounds to be exact, and I was sort of resigned to the idea that this was my body and that I wouldn't be able to lose weight, that I wouldn't be able to get thinner, that I would be sort of stuck with this body,
right,
and stuck at this weight. And it was 2 years ago, this month actually, 2 years ago, that I met Richard Simmons. And I met him through work. I was working at the Ellen DeGeneres Show at the time, and I was assigned to produce a segment with him. He was going to come on and get interviewed, and I was in charge of it. And I met him, and he offered to help me, which took me by surprise, and it took me aback. And I hesitated before taking up on his offer, and that was sort of the beginning of this particular journey, and that was 2 years ago, and 160 7 pounds ago as of this week.
That's amazing. Congratulations. 167 pounds.
167 pounds. I lost a vast majority of it, about 150 of it, in the first year. And since then, I've kept that off, and I'm still trying to keep going and lose more, although it's gotten a lot more difficult. But I'm still plugging away. Still plugging away.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you tried a whole bunch of different diets before, and they didn't work. So what actually did work in the past year, or in the year that you lost all the weight?
You know, it was a matter of finding a way to eat and to exercise that fit into my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, at the beginning, I was like the opposite of gung-ho. I was a little petrified, actually. Yeah. So a little scared. Because I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think that I was going to be able to lose weight. And I kept on thinking, if I don't, I'm just going to be an even bigger failure. Like, this is not going to bode well. That mindset that I was stuck in this body, that I was stuck at this weight, I had ingrained it so thoroughly into my brain. And so when I began this, I wasn't, waking up every morning in full attack mode, trying to figure out everything I can do. At the beginning, it was one day at a time, one choice at a time. At the beginning, I tried to come up with little things that I could do every day to be healthier.
Yeah.
I knew that if I woke up with, an attitude like, okay, this is a day that's low cal and no fat and no carb and, no sugar, I knew that would be a wonderful attitude to have, but I wouldn't make it so new.
Yeah.
You just can't transition like that overnight into some sort of like lean eating 3 hours a day workout machine. So at the beginning it was, can I park farther away at work? Can I take the stairs instead of the elevator?
Mm-hmm.
I started bringing my own lunch. That was something easy that I could do that eliminated unhealthy lunch options with one that I brought that were healthy. And it was just doing these things every single day, making sure that I had a bag in the trunk of my car with gym clothes, so I could go straight to the gym. And I was finding those little things that I could do and just doing them one at a time, letting them build until they became habitual, and then adding more and more and more. And and cutting out processed foods, not all at once, but slowly transitioning away from soda, from like frozen entrees because they're so high in sodium and chemicals and stuff.
Yeah.
Incorporating more veggies, incorporating more produce, fruit. Eating breakfast. I wouldn't eat breakfast a lot of the time.
Really?
And just getting something in my system to start my metabolism was a big help. And so at the beginning, it was just making those little changes, identifying them, doing them every day, building on them. And then after a couple of weeks, I noticed that I was down 5 pounds. And a week after that, I was down another 3 or 4. And it was only then that I started getting exciting. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is like something is clicking here. Something is working. And then I was able to sort of keep building like that. And then the other big part of it was that I was working with Richard. And basically, what he was having me do was write down everything that I eat. He asked me to keep a food log, and then I would email him like once a week, and he would make pointers and give suggestions. But most of all, he was keeping me accountable because I wasn't keeping myself accountable. And he knew that if I had to report to someone and report every handful of M&Ms and every, Diet Coke, he knew that I would make myself make changes.
Right. Yeah, it's
because of that accountability.
It's an interesting psychological thing that a food journal does because it suddenly puts a barrier between you and unhealthy foods. There's
it eliminates you think, like, that, for me, what it sort of eliminated was mindless eating, and right. I was the king of that. Like, I could snack all day, and, you know, and many days throughout my entire life, I mean, that's basically what I did, was constantly on the lookout for what I could eat next, right. And when you have to write it all down, like, holy crap, it's,
that's a lot of M&Ms.
It's a lot of M&Ms. It's a, you know, a handful every time you walk by the bowl, and you walk by the bowl 15 times a day.
Yeah.
It adds up. It adds up quickly.
So it's interesting what you said before. It sounds like you didn't really make a cold turkey decision. It was more like your progress at the beginning was motivation for you.
Yeah. The cold turkey decision was that I was going to do something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that I was going to do everything all at once.
Okay.
And, And so, at the beginning, for a long time, my progress was my biggest motivation. And like I said, I mean, I wasn't even so inclined. Like, I didn't take body measurements when I started. I didn't know some of the numbers that I've lost, like, around my waist and around my neck just because of the size of the clothes that I wear now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't do a body fat analysis. I didn't do, there's so many things that you can do when you're starting out to sort of mark your beginning and trace your progress, and all those things when you're making progress, all those things that are huge motivators. And I didn't do any of that. But just seeing that number on a scale once a week was huge. And I began early on tracking it, and I create a simple line graph that hangs in my closet where I see it every day when I get dressed. And every week I would go and update it. And I still do it to this day. I just updated it yesterday, in fact. And it's like 9 pages long. it's slowly outgrowing my closet, but I don't quite, had to find new ways to sort of reposition it on the wall. Because it's outgrown the space that I've given for it.
Yeah, that's great. I've seen it on your blog.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
I'm a big nerd for stats and graphs and pie charts and all that stuff. Like, I could just stare at it all day. I love USA Today. It's full of all that crap.
Yes.
And so just that simple weekly responsibility of updating this chart and then extending that line, whether it's up or hopefully down, that's been a huge motivator for me as well.
Yeah, yeah. I have a background in consulting, and one of the things we used to say was, if it doesn't get measured, it doesn't get done. And
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's 100% true, but it definitely, it does help having things like that around, especially nine pages of them. So, as we talked about before, losing weight is the easy part, and easy in quotation marks, because obviously it's not as easy as it sounds. But the real hard part is keeping the weight off, and precious few are able to do that. The fact that you've been successful is a true testament to your character and what you're doing, and the fact that it works. So what's your secret?
That's a really good question. That's a really tough question, and it's the one that I've been asked before, you know, and I think the trick element of the question is that there really isn't a secret. You know, and if there was, I think that there wouldn't be an obesity problem in this country.
Right.
But it's just a matter of keeping up what you're doing. And for me, the weight maintenance has been, the weight loss maintenance, I should say, has been a sort of side effect of just continuing to trying to lose. Like, my mind hasn't shifted yet from trying to lose weight to trying to keep weight off.
Gotcha.
And I just have to keep plugging away, and it's tough and it's frustrating. And I've had plateaus that have lasted 2 or 3 or 4 months, and I've had bad days and bad weeks, and I get into cycles where I think, well, you know, I'm doing everything that I can, and I'm not losing weight, so what does a bag of chips matter, or what does a candy bar matter? And right. I find myself resorting into those comfort foods, and it's just a matter of identifying those days and identifying those moments, and remembering that it's not just a number on a scale, it's, you know, the other benefits that I've gained, whether it's sleeping better, whether it's having more energy, whether it's being able to do things that I've never been able to do before or haven't done since I was a kid.
Yeah.
There are all these like sort of peripheral benefits that are worth fighting for, and that's the way that I sort of need to see this. Is I need to see this as a fight because I've let food sort of conquer me for most of my life, and if I can't stay in control of it, then it's going to conquer me again. And I know where I've been, and I know how that felt, and I refuse to sort of let myself go back there. And if there are people out there who think that they can lose 20 pounds or 30 pounds or 50 or 150 and work hard for that, you know, year or 2 years to get where they want to be and then sort of be done and switch off that, and switch off of their program and think that they're gonna stay that way, then I think that's why people end up yo-yoing.
Right. Yeah, it really is more of a lifestyle change than anything else.
Yeah,
to the point where you're not even really making decisions anymore. You're just kind of living your life in a different way than you lived before.
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And there are parts of this that come really easy to me, and that are, you know, truly lifestyle changes. Like my consumption of vegetables has drastically increased, and I buy tons more, and I have no problem eating them, and I don't struggle to work them into my diet. That part's really easy for me, but eating out can still be difficult at times.
Yeah.
And certain places can be difficult, and so there's always something. And if you have the tools, and if you know yourself and you know your patterns and you know your thought processes and you know what you need to do to have a good day and to feel good about yourself and to stay on program, then all those obstacles can be overcome.
Yeah. So what do you do in those moments of weakness? Do you have a strategy?
First and foremost, I try to put them off at the pass before they happen.
Yeah.
And to do that, basically, I try to have a simple game plan for most every day. And it's not necessarily knowing exactly what I'm going to eat and when I'm going to eat it, but it's just sort of knowing my day. And if I'm going to be spending, you know, 2 or 3 hours at the mall, for example, like I know that if that's going to be part of my day, I better eat before I go, you know, better eat well. If after the mall I'm going to be going to a restaurant or meeting up with friends or something, then I need to have a rough idea of where is that going to be, what that restaurant is going to be, what their menu is like. Do I need to bring a healthy snack with me so I can make it through? Do I need to have something in my car? So just having a rough idea of where your day is going to take you and where your food is going to come from, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like I found this early on, is that like I just need to eliminate those opportunities where I don't know when or where my next meal or my next source of food is going to be.
Right.
Because when you don't have that information, when you don't have an idea, then all of a sudden, like, that tray of cupcakes seems so much more appetizing because not only is it food, but it may be the only food for the next 2 hours. Or maybe they need to have some idea.
Yeah.
You know? And there are times where that game plan is more fleshed out and I have like an exact menu for the day planned out, and there are other days where there's a lot more flexibility built in and I know that I can go run my errands and meet up with whoever here and do that and know that I will have hit the gym by the time I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens.
Yeah.
And I do it.
Yeah. Cool. So what does a typical day look like?
Well, 6 days out of seven in any given week, I'll work out. I aim for six workouts a week, and five is acceptable, but six is the goal. So I'll usually do, I'll work out at some point, and I eat 3 meals a day and a snack or two.
Yeah.
And that's important to keep that up no matter what else the day, what else the day has, what else the day may bring.
Yeah. So what about nutrition specifically? You said you eat more veggies, less processed foods, and fewer prepared foods. What else?
A lot of lean protein.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of eggs, a lot of egg whites. I don't specifically count anything. I don't count calories. I don't count fat. I don't count carbs.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But I'm aware of it all. I read labels. I look things up online. I'm curious about how foods compare to one another. But I'm not particular about it. And I just sort of try to keep a balance. So if I know that one day is going to have a particularly big lunch, then I try to keep breakfast and dinner mm-hmm. a little lighter. I've been really focusing on making my breakfast bigger and keeping my dinner smaller.
Yeah.
So I can burn those breakfast calories throughout the day and have all these calories stored up before bed.
Right.
A lot of fruit, a lot of veggies, a lot of lean protein. I do eat carbs, but I don't eat tons of them. And I don't eat a completely raw diet, but I eat a lot of, most of the veggies that I eat are raw. I'd rather eat raw veggies than cook them. And part of that is a laziness thing, and part of that is I like them.
Yeah, especially when you eat them fresh. I think lots of people give veggies a bad rap because I know that I was raised on those little like plastic packets that you put in the microwave with those little cubed carrots and the lima beans like the little peas, and they all taste like the same. You know, there's no flavor in any of them. So lots of people don't actually eat real vegetables, especially fresh ones. And that stuff, there's nothing like it, you know, like straight off the tree or off the vine. That's really great stuff.
Exactly. And you live in a great climate. I live in a great climate. Like, there are great farmers markets. There are great farmers markets nearly year round. And I take advantage of them. And I take advantage of, you know, what's in season, and which is nice because it's also cheaper.
Yeah.
And I try to pay attention to what's grown locally. Shopping in the produce department is like my favorite thing to do. And one of the things that I do is that I always find something that I've never tried before or never bought before.
And I
make a point to buy it, and half the time I've never heard of it, half the time I have no idea what to do with it, and it's in my cart, and I go home, and I look it up online, and figure out what it is and what to do with it, and I've since been introduced to so many great new foods that way, and things that I love, and things that I don't like, but you think, like, people think of fruits and veg, and they think, like, oh, carrots, celery, bananas, apples, oranges.
Yeah.
And that's like half of 1% of like what's out there and what you can find. And there's so many great things.
Yeah, so many weird and delicious things like Jerusalem artichokes and rutabagas and half the things you can't even spell, but they're great.
Yeah, and those two things that you just mentioned I've never had before, and they're both on my list of things to buy.
Yeah, awesome. I can tell you what to do with them. Yeah, just watch out for the fiber in the Jerusalem artichokes. So what about do you have any advice for someone who might be in a similar situation as you were in the past?
I think my advice is, you know, don't be afraid to take it slow. Don't be afraid to ease yourself into it. You know, it's gonna take time. Chances are you didn't gain the weight that you want to lose. Chances are you didn't gain it like overnight or within the course of a couple months. Chances are it's built on slowly over time, and that's exactly how it's gonna come off. You're not a failure. You're not. You're doing great if you're losing a half a pound or a pound a week. That's a wonderful rate to lose weight.
Yeah.
And so don't beat yourself up if you're not losing 3 pounds a week or 5 pounds a week. And don't beat yourself up if you're having a hard time or it's difficult, because it's always going to be difficult. And like I mentioned before, it's just a matter of finding things that you can incorporate into your life and you can and that you can do easily and that you enjoy. You know, if you find a program online that involves a ton of walking, but you don't have a treadmill and it's the middle of winter, then you're going to have to find something else unless you really want to circle your living room 10,000 times a day.
Right.
You know, so like, maybe you got to find a video. Maybe you got to look into gyms in your area. You know, you can look and see what side programs are promoting, but if those foods aren't available to you or if they're talkative, then that's not going to be for you either. So it's a matter of finding what you can do and finding those little things, you know, skipping a glass of wine or eliminating a soda or a beer and replacing it with water, cutting, you know, one dessert a day out and replacing it with either nothing or, you know, a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
Like, find those little, pinpoint those little things that you can do that you're not going to, you know, you're not going to miss. It's not going to turn your whole day and your whole life topsy-turvy upside down. And do them. And do them every day. And once, you know, after a few days and you've done one thing, one single thing every day for 3 days, and add a second. And after a week, add a third. And, you know, a week after that, find a fourth and add a fourth. And you can build on your success, and you can gain the momentum. And once you have that momentum, you're going to start feeling great. You're going to start noticing changes. You're going to start looking forward to new things that you can find and do. And you can build off of that. And you can do it. You know, that's the thing to remember, is that it can be done, and you can lose weight, and you're going to feel great about yourself when you do. And that feeling is probably the best motivator of all.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So I was just thinking back to what you said earlier, trying all these different diets. What was the worst thing that you've tried? There are all sorts of weird diets, like cabbage soup and, you know, eating nothing but popcorn and all that.
I went no carb, and it lasted about 3 days.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 days. And it's just an example of it just didn't work for me, and I think that any program where you're arbitrarily eliminating an entire food group, I don't think that would work for me.
Right.
And I can only speak for myself, and I know people that have had success on, you know, Atkins-type diets, and I know people that, I know a lot of people that are vegetarian or vegan or, you know, gluten-free or dairy-free or whatever, for all sorts of reasons, you know, health only being one of them. And that's great for them, but for me, arbitrarily eliminating one food group, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
As soon as something is off the table, it's all that I begin focusing on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And one of the things that I take issue with is that, especially in our culture, I found, which is kind of unique, you go to Europe and it's not really like this. We're here, food is the enemy, you know, it's kind of the sinful thing. Most people don't think of food as being healthy, they think of it as being fattening. And so, you know, a solution to that is just cutting out a whole food group or something like that, and that they think that that's going to solve their problems, when it's really not. That's not the best way forward. You mostly need to develop a healthy relationship with food, and understand that it can be nourishing and good for you instead of just something that's fattening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I, you know, and honestly, I think about a lot of foods that way. And it's something that I've been working on fixing. It's something that I'm continually working on, trying to, you know, establish a healthier relationship with food. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's a tough mindset to change.
Yeah. Okay, so you've worked with Richard Simmons, who's infamous and certainly a character. What's that like?
It's been wonderful. Before I met him in person, my only exposure to him was, you know, his sort of talk show appearances and being on TV, where he is definitely very over the top and energetic and charismatic and, like, just sort of has this crazy, manic energy. And I think what I can say after knowing him pretty well for the past 2 years is that it's not a persona. It's not like a gimmick. It's not like a TV personality. It's him. It's genuine. Like, he has that energy. And what I sort of realized really quickly after I started talking with him and getting to know him was that it's completely genuine. And it all serves a purpose to sort of make and force people to feel good about themselves. And then he has this amazing, uncanny ability to sort of hook you in. The dancing and the music and his quick wit and his energy, And you don't realize that by the time you're done with the segment or the time you're done with the, you know, whatever you're watching or talking or hearing from him, that there's always a message. And the message is always, you know, first and foremost, love yourself, know your self-worth, and cherish yourself and cherish the people around you and be kind to the people in your life. And then secondary to that is exercise and eat well.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's... He's one of the few fitness, you know, and health personalities that I can think of where the mental component is just as important, or if not more important, than the diet and the exercise. You know, and I go and take his classes. He teaches aerobics classes 3 times a week in Beverly Hills, and I go there a couple times a week and take his classes. And he ends each one with a little pep talk, and it's never about what foods are highest in fat and what exercises are the best for this part of your body. It's always take stock of the people in your life, be kind to the people in your life, be kind to, you know, be kind to strangers, spend that good energy out in the world, and it will come back to you, and you will feel good about yourself. And once you feel good about yourself, it'll only be easier to take steps to be healthier. And because the happiness there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
It's, you know, it's like revolutionary in its simplicity.
Yeah, too many people kind of approach the whole thing, whether it be exercise or diet, as a soul-crushing endeavor, where it really should be the opposite.
Right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, what people don't know about him is that he is completely 100%, 200%, 300% dedicated to the people that he works with. He makes every day dozens and dozens of phone calls to perfect strangers across the country and checking in with them and putting a smile on their face and motivating them any way that he can to do something healthy for themselves. And he answers hundreds of emails every week, every day, from people across the country who share with him all of their problems and all of their secrets and all of their struggles, and he responds to all of them with something to motivate, something to inspire, something to encourage. And he does it every single day. And then he comes and he teaches classes and he makes a myriad of personal appearances. And it's all selfless, and it's all to inspire people, everyone, that they're worth fighting for, that their health and their families and themselves are worth being healthy for.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't just show up, you know, on TV once every 2 months, sing and dance, and then go like lock himself in some cave or something. It's a daily odyssey that he's on to reach as many people as he can and share these messages of self-acceptance and self-love and self-worth and taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So before we wrap up here, tell us a little bit about your blog. I know I love it and I read it all the time, and that's how I found you in the first place. There aren't too many of us male health bloggers out there, so it's...
No,
so
there isn't.
To have another one.
There isn't, and it's called keepitupdavid.com. Basically, I started roughly a year and a half ago. And it was, at the beginning, a tool that I would use to motivate myself. And first and foremost, that's still its goal, is to motivate myself. But I found that if I share what I'm doing, it's another way to become accountable.
Yeah.
To myself. And basically, if you log on to keepitupdavid.com, what you'll find are posts about everything that's going on in my life, from the struggles to the successes to what I'm eating to how I'm working out. My tone, I try to find ways to insert humor, and I try to find ways to insert myself and my own personality. And so one of the things that I do is that I keep a number of running charts. I always share my weight loss chart when I update that. There's always a post about that. One of the things that I do to motivate myself, I use a Stairmaster, which is the piece of cardio equipment that I hate the most, is that after every workout, I'll note the number of floors that I climbed on the machine and then go and find a skyscraper of an equivalent height somewhere in the world. And I have built a collection of these skyscrapers now in like 10 countries and 8 states or something like that, of all these buildings that I've theoretically climbed. And so I do things like that that make exercise interesting and fun and different. I share recipes. I'm always experimenting in the kitchen. And I can never follow a recipe from a cookbook as it is. I always tinker with it.
Yeah.
So I share things like that. And mostly, I just find ways to keep going. And because it's not always easy. There are those days that you don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed. There are those days where all I can think about is a pint of ice cream. And there are those days that that's the last thing I want to do is any sort of physical exertion. And so keep it up, David, is the four words that I end every post with. And there are four words that remind me of the success that I've had and the accomplishments that I've accomplished. That was terrible, but I can't think of another word at the moment. But it's just, you know, something. It's encouragement. And that so many other people have started coming and visiting and gained encouragement from the blog is like the sweetest icing ever.
Yeah.
So keep it up, David.com.
It's such a cool place, and I love that about it, too. From the comments, you can really see that it's affecting people. So check it out if you can. It's keepitupdavid.com. And David, this was really wonderful. We should definitely do it again.
I would love that, Abel, very much.
Awesome. All right, David, thanks so much.
Thank you, Abel.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and come hang out at fatburningman.com. And in the meantime, keep it up, David. We'll talk to you soon.